podcast for news and views on robotics.
I'm Adam. Welcome to the 38th episode of Robots. In today's show, we'll be speaking about robots used for rehabilitation. We first speak with Ludovic Dovat from the National University of Singapore, who is part of a multinational team working on robotic devices that help stroke victims regain the use of their hands.
Our second guest, David Brown, is co-founder of Kinea Design near Chicago that makes a rehabilitation robot called the Kinea Assist. As a physiotherapist, he gives us his hands-on view on how robots can help patients relearn to walk and a small glimpse into the market of rehab robots. But first, as always, here's the latest news in robotics from Christine.
Thanks, Sabine. Boston company iRobot has announced the creation of a new healthcare robots unit. Unlike in Japan and Korea, which have both made huge investments into robots that care for senior citizens, until now, this field has attracted very little attention in the U.S. For now, iRobot's ambitions and potential to compete with Asian robotics companies are unclear, but with a declared goal of adding 1 million hours of independent living to the U.S. senior citizens, it seems that we all have something to look forward to. Massachusetts-based company Boston Dynamics has released a first video of a prototype of its Petman robot, designed to test chemical warfare suits. The robot's key feature will be to imitate the same range and speed of motion as a human being, including motions as diverse as walking, running, climbing, and crawling. The video of the early proof-of-concept prototype shows a biped walking on a treadmill at speeds of 5.1 kilometers per hour, well over Asimov's top walking speed and nearly reaching Asimov's running speed. Like humans, the robot rolls over its heel when walking, and like Boston Dynamics' previous big dog robot, the Petman can keep its balance when shoved. For more information on iRobot's new healthcare robots unit and Boston Dynamics' Petman robot, visit our forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Thanks, Christine. Ludovic Dovat has recently completed his PhD at the National University of Singapore, where he worked in conjunction with doctors and engineers from the Imperial College in London and Simon Fraser and McGill Universities in Canada on robotic systems designed specifically for hand rehabilitation. He tells us about three of the systems that they've designed and successfully tested with stroke victims to help them relearn complex tasks such as handwriting, manipulation, and coordination of their fingers.
Hi, Ludovic. Welcome
Adam.
To Robots Podcast. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So I received a master's degree in microengineering from EPS Lausanne. And after my PhD studies in rehabilitation robotics at the National University of Singapore, I started a new career in the industry. And I'm now the research and development manager in a Swiss company named GoTech. I'm actively collaborating with several groups who are leader in robot-assisted rehabilitation. And before moving on, I would like to first acknowledge my collaborators on this project. So there is first the group of Professor Teo Chiliong at the National University of Singapore, the group of Professor Etienne Burdet at Imperial College London in the UK, the group of Professor Ted Miner at McGill University in Canada, and the group of Professor Roger Gasset and Olivier Lambercy at ETH Zurich in Switzerland. We also have a clinical collaboration with the Tan Tock Seng Hospital Rehabilitation Center in Singapore. And together with these people, we aim at developing robotic system to help stroke patients recover and function after stroke.
Well, that's great. Tell us a little bit about rehabilitation robotics. What does that mean exactly? What's the point?
Yeah, of course. So as you may know, stroke is one of the leading causes of adult disability in industrialized nations. According to the World Health Organization, it affects about 15 million people each year. And most of the stroke survivors suffer from hemiparesis, which is a paralysis of one side of the body that affects motor function of upper and lower limbs. More precisely, the hand function is often strongly impaired, and stroke patients are basically not able to use the impaired hand at all, which, as you can imagine, is a real problem for activities of daily living, such as opening a door or grasping and manipulating objects. So the traditional approach of post-stroke rehabilitation starts with one-on-one therapy with a physiotherapist at the hospital. But what is problematic is that to limit the cost of treatment, patients are sent back home as soon as they can walk, even if they have not recovered complete function of upper limbs, especially of the hand and finger. And that's what robotic rehabilitation is about, to provide robotic system that will help stroke survivor improve their hand and finger function and thus improve their quality of life.
Maybe tell us a little bit more in detail then. So I guess your main focus is to help stroke victims regain the function of their hands. How do you do this exactly using robots?
So we did a preliminary study that showed that the activity stroke survivors most desired to recover were typing and writing and no manipulation. So we have developed three dedicated systems to help patients recover the three specific activities. The system provides repetitive movements adapted to each subject and can also measure movement trajectory, interaction force, and muscle activity for assessment and treatment. So the first robotic system to train the activity of typing is called the hand care robot. This system is used to train independent movement of each finger as well as coordination between the finger. The system is a box about 30 centimeter by 40 centimeter, and the system is based on a clutch mechanism that provides a large range of movement, from assisted finger extension to resisted grasping movement using all five fingers. The force is measured at the tip of each finger with simple force sensor. And with this sensor, we can provide a biofeedback to the patient. Handwriting and object manipulation are trained with a workstation based on a 6 degrees of freedom Delta robot and a virtual reality environment. This system provides enjoyable training and increased motivation to recover hand function. Finally, the third robot is the haptic knob, which can train pronation and supination of the forearm, as well as opening and closing of the hand. So the mechanical design of this system is based on a parallelogram structure that with the movement in one direction is translated into a movement on the other direction to open the hand. The three systems are safe, provide smooth interaction with the patient, and are adapted to the biomechanics of human hand. Of course, the robotic device is not enough for rehabilitation, and it's obvious that the exercises implemented with the robot are very important. Our philosophy for training exercises is the following. The exercises must be related to activity of daily living, such as eating, grooming, or shaving, so that the learned function may be directly transferred to the daily life. The exercise must be motivating, like a video game, and adapted to the performance of the subject. For example, a game with letters favorable to keep a high level of motivation. Finally, the exercise must be easy to learn, and the patient should be able to do it without any supervision if the device is to be used at home.
Do you have any plans, actually, to have these devices at home? What is your current setup? Do you have just a few of these robots in testing, or do you plan on developing a product that you can give out to patients?
Yeah, actually, the three devices we have, we did a first prototype, And then, because we had some modification to do, some improvement to do, we developed a second version of this prototype. And this prototype are currently used in hospital, but it's easy to imagine that they can be used at home because they are small and they are very, very simple to use. So the objective is to use this device at home and thus training in the patient's own environment. This has the advantage to enhance motivation and improve the quality and the duration of the therapy. So that's a real advantage of the small robotic device for rehabilitation. And currently we hold two patents, and we are looking for investor to make this technology available to a larger number of stroke subjects. So that would be great indeed if we can commercialize the product, and so that stroke victim can use the device at home.
Can you maybe walk us through a therapy session, for example? If, say, I had a stroke and I can't use my right arm and I want to learn to use my hand again and I want to learn to write, what would I see as somebody coming up to one of these machines?
Okay, so first we assume that you are in the chronic phase after stroke. That means when you have a stroke, during a few days or a few weeks, it's called the acute phase. And during this phase, it's not planned to use our robot because we want to control the therapy. So we need that the patient is in a stable phase. So after, let's say, 6 months after the stroke, we can start the robotic therapy with our robot. And let's say you come to the session three times a week for 1 hour. You will have some massage at the beginning of the therapy to smoothen the muscle and to relax. And then you will start the exercise with the robot. So you will do 10 repetitions of one exercise. Let's say you open and close your hand. So you place your finger in the machine, and the machine will assist you or resist, depending on the performance of the level of impairment of the subject. But the machine will train you to do one specific movement. And then after this 10 repetition, you rest for a while, like 2 minutes. And then another session, another set of 10 repetitions. After like 15 repetitions, we do another exercise, like pronation, supination. So again, 15 repetitions of pronation, supination movement. And that lasts about 1 hour. So that's a typical rehabilitation session.
And I understand these robots, they're not moving your fingers for you. They're giving you a little bit of feedback.
It's not a passive movement. So the robot doesn't move your finger. You have the patient has to apply the force. The patient, the robot only assists because we think that one of the most important points for rehabilitation is that the subject actively participates in the training. So it's really important that the subject start the movement or have the intention to do the movement, and the robot will only assist the subject. And of course, we have lots of feedback to inform the patient, to let him know what he has to do, like turn the wrist on the right or on the left. So we have visual feedback that will give this information to the subject. And also we use auditory feedback to let the subject know when he reached the target, for example. Or we can also have biofeedback, like tactile feedback, with some vibrations that are applied on the hand, for example. So we use many different feedback to inform the patient during the therapy.
I understand that a lot of stroke victims are the elderly and people who may not be very familiar with technology, who may even be scared of technology, for example. And I guess you've already used your system and have some clinical trials. Can you tell us maybe about the trials and what kind of reaction that people have to your robots as opposed to a human physiotherapist?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And in general, they like it very much. I must say that some of the patients were like nervous with the first prototype. Then we consider this psychological factor in the second version of the system. For example, we enclosed all electronics and rounded all external parts to make the system look nicer. And indeed, it has a huge influence on the therapy because the patients were not scared anymore and really enjoyed the therapy, even the elderly people. So that was really, really interesting.
And what would you say are some of the advantages, maybe, if we're speaking about regular physiotherapists? Do robots work better, or is it just because they're less expensive to use than physiotherapists, or are they meant to work together?
We cannot say robotic therapy is better than physiotherapy, but robotic system has the advantage to provide a continuous repetition of movement and precisely control the training and accurately measure the performance. The robotic devices can be used anywhere and anytime. But on the other hand, the presence and support of the physiotherapist during the therapy is crucial. So I don't think we should oppose these two methods. I think they have to be combined to provide an optimal therapy. But basically, there is so far no significant difference between robot-assisted rehabilitation and physiotherapy.
So I guess that means you've tried your system out and had a bit of experience with actual victims. Do you have any kind of heartwarming success stories that you can tell us about people that have maybe seen the light after using your robot and been able to do some great things?
Oh yes, we have many success stories because, you know, each time a stroke victim tells that he feels better and that his life is better thanks to the robotic therapy, that's a success. For us, that's a big success. So, yeah, we have many. But besides this influence on the quality of life for a stroke victim, we had several success stories about the mechanical design, because we received a few awards, including one of the best application paper awards at the AROS conference, and that was very, very nice also. Finally, I really hope the next success story will be the commercialization of the patented system. So if I can conclude, I would just say, if you are an investor and share our philosophy of decentralized and robot-assisted rehabilitation, feel free to contact me.
Of course. So tell us maybe as a final parting, what do you see in the future of robotic rehabilitation? Do you still have some major challenges to overcome, or do you think that you're ready right now and that it's just a matter of getting these out to the people so that people can actually use them?
No, there are many challenges remaining in rehabilitation robotics. One of the main challenges is probably to find the optimal type of training for an efficient therapy. There are basically two different approaches to define the type of action. The first approach is proximal, that is to say training shoulder and elbow, and the second one is a distal related to hand and finger. We believe in the distal approach because distal training involves nerve and muscle that are connected to the upper limb and thus activate proximal muscles. But many people are currently investigating this issue, and that's still an open question and definitely one of the most important that need to be answered. About the next step for our research, we try to improve the current version of the robot, so there's still improvement to be done, like making them smaller or with a more attractive virtual environment. We are also working on an fMRI-compatible version of the system to track neural plasticity during robotic rehabilitation.
Well, great. Ludovic, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And all the best in the future.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
David Brown is associate professor in the departments of physical therapy and human movement sciences and in physical medicine and rehabilitation at Northwestern University in Chicago. He specializes in post-stroke disabilities and novel engineering that can help his patients get back on their feet. With a nice balance between his backgrounds in physiotherapy and academic science, he co-founded Kinea Design, which makes the Kinea Assist robots that can support patients on their way to recovery.
Hi, David. Welcome to Robots.
Hi.
Can you please present yourself to our listeners?
Yes. My name is David Brown, PT, PhD. I'm a physical therapist with a PhD in exercise science. I'm an associate professor at the Feinberg School of Medicine at the Northwestern University and also co-founder of an engineering design company, Kinea Design, which develop innovations in human interactive mechatronics.
You're a specialist in post-stroke disabilities. First of all, what is a stroke?
Well, a stroke is when there is a sudden loss of blood and therefore oxygen that goes to the cells in the brain. These cells in the brain are very important for providing the signals that activate different parts of your body, the muscles and the functions of different parts of your body. So if there's loss of blood or oxygen to the brain, then these parts of the body have trouble being controlled and moving. And in particular, one of the major problems post-stroke is when the neurons to the muscles are destroyed. There's a difficulty in controlling the muscles that move the arms and the legs.
So concretely, what type of disabilities are we faced with in these cases?
Well, the primary locomotion disabilities that arise post-stroke are that people walk slower and that they're at a higher risk for falls. And this slowness and instability high fall risk is really a result of weak muscles and an inability for the brain to control those muscles appropriately after the stroke.
So as you said before, you're one of the co-founders of Kinea Design, which makes a rehabilitation robot called the Kinea Assist. Can you briefly present this robot to us?
Yes, this robot is known as a cobot or collaborative robot. Most robots, when you think of robots, are devices that move an arm or a leg when used in rehabilitation. But this type of robot doesn't move until the person who is attached to the robot wants it to move or intends to move. So this device attaches to a person's hips, and when the person decides to take a step forward, the device follows along behind them. If the person trips or has difficulty taking a step or falls, the device will catch them. The device can also lift them up and provide body weight support to make it easier for them to walk. And it can also push people around and give people the opportunity to learn how to walk better while they're being disturbed or pushed around, which is a very important part of our training in physical therapy.
And why was there a need for such a robot with respect to the more classical approaches?
Well, the need for this robot comes out of the idea that when a person learns to walk and regain their balance after a stroke, they need to experience challenges. In other words, we need to push people to their limits of balance ability. And typically in the physical therapy clinic, we're afraid to do that because if a person gets too close to their limits of balance ability, they may lose their balance and fall, and we would be unable to catch them. So what this device allows is for people to test out and to go beyond their limits of balance ability because the device will catch them and keep them safe. So the physical therapist can provide a lot of challenging situations, such as having people practice stepping upstairs without holding onto a handrail, or walking down a hallway without using an assistive device, or walking on slippery surfaces or on foamy, compliant surfaces that may disturb a person's balance. Or, as I mentioned before, we can push people around with the device. And each of these situations allows people to learn and regain the confidence and the ability that they need in order to be able to walk out in the real world where there are a lot of disturbances and challenges to their balance.
I did see the video with the patient who was walking in a straight line and was going over these foamy surfaces. How much trust do these people have to put in the robot somehow? They are doing very difficult things, and do they gain confidence in the robot and in what they can try to do?
Yes, it's very important that people practice falling in the robot before they practice some of these other tasks. So we allow people to just sit down in the device and get comfortable with the idea that the device will hold them, maintain their body weight, won't let them fall over, that the device is a stable, strong robotic system. And then we have people take a few steps in the robot, and the robot moves along somewhat transparently behind them so that they really don't feel the robot as they're moving. The only time they know that there's a robot behind them is when they do lose their balance and fall and the device catches them. So they spend all of their time and all of their effort trying to figure out how to solve the problem of walking on these difficult surfaces, rather than worrying about whether they'll be caught or whether they'll be safe in the device. And that is somewhat of a empowering feeling for the patients who have used this device, because it allows them to problem solve and figure out how to solve these problems without the fear of bad consequences like falling and getting hurt.
And generally, do you have any other feedback from the patients on these machines?
Yes, I would say that patients are greatly challenged by the exercises that they perform in the machine. So when they get into the machine, they know that they're going to work hard, that they're going to try something different and new compared to what they've done traditionally or typically in their physical therapy clinic. And many people are excited about those challenges, and it gives them an opportunity to try things out that they were afraid to try out when they were being held up by a physical therapist. So it does provide a level of independence in the learning process. It gives patients what they describe to us is it gives them an opportunity to try things out the way they want to try them out. And if it fails, if they lose their balance, that's fine. They learn from that experience and they move on and come up with the best solutions to help them walk so that they don't lose their balance in the real world.
And how about your colleagues? What do they think of rehabilitation robots in general?
Well, rehabilitation robotics is a very hot field right now in rehabilitation. I would say 10 years ago, There were few to no rehab robots available for people to try and use with their patients. But now there's a large proliferation of different robotic ideas out there for how to help people rehabilitate faster and more effectively. There are a lot of questions in the field about what are the most effective parameters that a robot must have in order to get the best outcomes with patients. And a lot of our research and a lot of the development of the KinEssist is geared towards really figuring out what is the best way to teach the nervous system to regain its ability to control movement after damage, such as stroke. So there's a combination of good neuroscience that goes on with rehabilitation robots and also good engineering that's performed to come up with strong, robust devices that can be used by patients in the clinic and that are safe as well.
This brings up a final question. So typically these robots are used within the rehabilitation centers, but can you imagine people bringing them home eventually, maybe to be able to practice more or advance in a more independent fashion?
I agree. There's a big push to provide robots to individual users, especially when they're in the home environment. Most of these robots are very heavy, very expensive when they're first developed, but as with most technologies, they can be scaled down and made simpler. And with communication systems through the internet and through other innovative ways, there are ways that therapists and clinicians can guide and interact with patients who are using robots when the patient is using the robot in a home environment. One of our dreams with the KinEssist is that it can be scaled down to the point where a person can move around in their own home and practice balance and walking tasks with the robot in a home environment.
So what is the market of rehabilitation robots like now?
Currently, most rehab robots are very expensive, and I would say it's in the early part of the development phase in terms of how many people are using rehab robotics in their clinic. So there are early adopters now, and there are facilities that have the money to purchase some of these robots and provide them for the care of their patients. But over time, the hope is that these robots will become simpler and less expensive and will be more commonly used in the clinic.
Thank you, David, for being here with us on Robots.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
And that's it for yet another episode of Robots. For more information on our guests, visit our website at www.robotspodcast.com. And of course, don't forget to stop by the forum for discussion on today's show and other hot topics in robotics.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Heal Yourself with Robots, the podcast for news and views on